ओम शांति। दिस मॉर्निंग वी हर्ड बाबा'स मुरली इन विच बाबा सेड दैट वी शुड हैव मर्सी फॉर द सेल्फ एंड फॉर अदर्स। दिस इज सच अ ग्रेट स्टेटमेंट। So today's subject is according to that sentence, having mercy for self and others. Baba says, just as Shiv Baba is the merciful father, we also have to become like him, merciful. This word mercy is a bhakti word, no doubt. Mercy, compassion, love, forgiveness, all these four qualities go together. If you have mercy, then you can forgive, because compassion comes and there is love and therefore mercy. So mercy, compassion, love and forgiveness, they go together all the time. You cannot forgive without the first three. And if you have love and you are merciful, you have compassion, you automatically forgive. You cannot stay without forgiving. But here Baba says, not only forgiving others or having mercy on others, but also forgiving the self, having mercy for self. And today Baba described what does it mean by having mercy towards the self. Baba said that if you are following Srimad at every step, then you automatically have mercy for the self. It means that. But if you are not following Srimad, you are not being merciful to the self. So what does it mean? That only when you are following Srimad, you are having mercy for self. And when you are not following Srimad, you are not having mercy for self. So what does Baba exactly mean by that? Baba says when you are following Srimad, that means all the instructions which Baba gives the children, they are all meant for purifying the souls. And this is our immediate goal. First is self-purification, and then self leads to world, so then world purification. Unless I purify myself, I cannot take the guarantee or even the courage of purifying others. Whatever I do for others, I have to first experiment that upon myself. Because spiritual knowledge is something which to be applied in life. It is not merely theory. it is much more to do with practice than with theory. In the Laukik world, there's lots of theory. Only one person is doing the practical and the rest are just understanding the theory and maybe learning it by heart just for writing an examination. That's what it is. Because all don't practice so that. Engineers, doctors learnt a lot of science, but then their field of practice is different. So many theories there are, but they're not all applied for the self. Many heart specialists, they die of heart attack, you know? Yes, they die of heart attack because they didn't imply that in their own life. They did give treatment to patients, advice to patients, help the patients a lot, but they didn't help themselves. And therefore, they also come under the influence of that disease. The same thing you will find with lawyers. Although they know all the laws, they know what is right, what is wrong, what to do and what not to do, what is the law of the land. Because ignorance of law is definitely no excuse. Somebody goes against the law and he says he didn't know about it and therefore he didn't do it. But that's no excuse. One has to know the laws and then abide by those laws. But still, if by chance he does not know the law and he does something which is not according to the law, he can be forgiven. But if a lawyer himself does it, then? A lawyer who is supposed to teach law to others, to teach so many things to others, but if he disobeys those laws, then he is the first culprit. And therefore, it's not always that whatever people preach, they also practice. But then where values are concerned, one cannot practice if he is not, one cannot preach if he is not practicing. I cannot talk about tolerance until I have that power of tolerance. There's a very interesting story in the Mahabharata about it, that the Pandavas used to study with a guru, you know, in a Gurukul ashram, and Dronacharya was the guru who used to teach them archery and also the laws of the kingdom, many things, and also teach them values because they're only one teacher for every subject. So he used to teach them, and then one day his lesson which he had to teach was that anger is bad. One should not get angry. One should not react. One should be patient, humble, tolerant, all that means anger, the result of anger and the consequences and how anger is bad. So he asked the Pandavas, he wrote the theory for them and he said, tomorrow you learn it by heart and I will ask you the lesson. So the next day when the Pandavas came back to the school, the guru asked them the question, and did you learn the lesson well? So four of them said, yes, we learnt it very well, and they repeated whatever the teacher had taught them. But Yudhishthira, who was supposed to be the eldest of the Pandavas, he said he did not learn his lesson well. And then he repeated, the guru repeated the lesson. And the four others also repeated the lesson, and it means they learnt it very well. Then again he asked Yudhishthir, did you learn the lesson well? He said, no. He said, he didn't learn the lesson well. And third time he repeated. And those four Pandavas, they answered accurately, but this one again said, no. So the guru got angry. The guru got angry and got very upset with Yudhishthir and said, such a simple lesson you couldn't learn? You are stupid, you are this, you are that, you know. And then Yudhishthir said, yes sir, now I have learned. What does that mean? He was waiting for the teacher to fail. No, he was testing himself. I mean, not that he wanted the teacher to fail, but he was testing himself whether he really had tolerance in himself, whether it was true that he would not react, he would not get angry, he would not get irritated. So, but there was no situation yet to really test him. And now when the guru got upset, he was very tolerant. He was very patient, very humble, and lots of peace in his mind. And with that he said, yes sir, yes Guruji, now I have learned. And at that very moment the guru realized, actually he never practiced what he taught. But this student is number one student because he practiced. The other four may have just learned theory, that's all, but not did in practice. Because the real test never came in front of them. And now this test came in front of Yudhishthir, and he passed in the test and he said, yes, now I've learned the lesson. So Baba says these values cannot be taught. They're not something to be taught in theory. They are to be practiced. And something which you cannot teach, you can only bring it into action. And whatever you do, others will watch you and do the same. You know, at home, whatever parents do, children watch them very, very well. Each action of the mother, each action of the father, each action of the elder brother or sister, whatever, the little children watch very carefully. And then what they think, that this is the way it should be. You have to get angry. That's the way it should be. You have to blame others. You have to get upset. That's how it should be. That is natural. But of course, whatever the parents were doing or elders were doing was not right. But children don't know what is right or what is wrong. They just follow. Or a teacher comes in the class and says, silence, silence, silence. The children are shouting and the teacher brings a big rod, a big stick and beats on the table and says, silence, silence, silence. The children are talking and talking and talking. And the teacher shouts very loudly, can't you remain quiet? Can't you do this? And one little boy will come and tell the teacher, teacher, you be silent first. You be silent first. Because teacher is also not silent, no? So if the teacher wants the other students to be in silence, what should the teacher do? Shout? By shouting, will the children understand? Because they think that's what they have to do, and they'll start shouting too. Silence, silence, silence. Everybody starts saying silence, 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 like the teacher. Then where is the silence? So if the teacher wants the students to be in silence, what should the teacher do? Stay in silence. Stay in silence. And like Bab Dada comes, Dadis come, they come on the stage and start giving drishti. Before that, everyone's talking, chat, 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 you know. And as the Dadis come, and Dadis stand in silence, everyone becomes silent. Nobody was told that you have to be in silence. But the Dadis, they spread those vibrations of silence. So, mercy is also a very, very big virtue. And today Baba said, you have to have it first for yourself. Well, for others it's very easy, you know, it's very easy to forgive. Baba says, forgive and forget. Change yourself, transform yourself, and don't take revenge. Because if you are taking revenge, it means you have not forgiven. It's either forgiving or you are taking revenge. You know, somebody may say, I will show him. I will face him very well. That is, I will definitely take revenge of him. But Baba says, don't take revenge. Forgive and forget. You change yourself. You can't change others. You can't tell anybody keep quiet if you are not quiet. And therefore we always say when you are pointing out someone's mistake, three fingers are pointing towards the self and one towards the other one. And therefore if you want the other one to change, you have to change three times compared to what change you want the other one to do. You have to do it three times, threefold. That means it's not possible to change anybody else, but you definitely can change yourself. So don't blame others. Don't give excuse of blaming others. He did this, therefore I did this. That means you are blaming somebody else. He did his karma, but whatever I do will be my karma. And therefore, I should realize what I'm doing, not because he did it and therefore I did it. If he will fall into the well, will you also do the same? Supposing somebody is running and there's a well there in a big, big well, and that person jumps into the well, will you also do the same because he did it? What will you say? What will you say? Will you do it? Because he also jumped in the well, no? So I should also jump because I am following him. But the moment he jumped in the well, you start wondering, oh, why did he jump in the well? You don't want to jump, you don't want to die. So you will stay there and wonder why he did this. But you have not followed him. Before you were following him. So if you say, he did it, therefore I did it. Well, you have your own choice. You always have a choice of what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And therefore don't blame anybody else. We are so used to playing blame game. Each one is used to it. From childhood itself, we are used to playing blame games, you know. Actually, we can start off with how when a child starts walking, the child is learning how to walk, but doesn't know how to walk. You know, the mother picks up the child by the hands and says, come on child, take your step forward, learn to walk, and she encourages him, come on, pick up your foot and put your foot forward. And then he's afraid because he knows he may fall. His legs are not strong. But still mother's telling him, so he picks up his foot and puts it in front, and then he's happy that he can do that. Then the mother will say, okay, take the other foot, put it forward and he'll do it. But then all of a sudden he falls because his legs are not strong. Now, although mother was holding him, but still he fell, because maybe her attention was diverted or something, and he fell. Now, when he fell, he starts crying. No, he will start crying. Now, what will the mother do? You know what the mother does? She'll say, oh, this floor is very bad, very dirty, very naughty. It made my child fall. Actually, is it the fault of the floor? It's not the fault of the floor, no? It is the fault of the mother. Why didn't she pay attention? Well, you can't blame the child also, because the child hasn't learned to walk yet. So it's the mother's attention which was drawn somewhere else, and the child fell. But the mother then doesn't realize that it's my fault. She will blame the floor. And she'll hit the floor. Oh, you floor, you naughty floor, you threw my child down. And the child is so happy. It stops crying. Oh, it's not my fault that I fell. It is the fault of the floor. So the mother is the first one who plays this blame game on the self, on the floor. It doesn't say, I'm sorry, child, I did not give proper attention to you, I'm sorry, but she blames the floor. Now the child understands that it's not his fault also that he fell, but it's the fault of the floor which made him fall. Now this is how the blame game begins. You know, in school, the children play and then they start fighting. And one child hits the other one. And that child who was beaten by another child starts crying. And he then beats that one who beat him. So he beats him and then runs home, runs to his mother. And tells the mother, mother, the first one beats him. And then the other one beats him. And then after he's beaten by the other one, he runs home and tells his mother, Mommy, he beat me. Mommy, he beat me. Now it depends, what will the mother do? Will she get angry with the other child? Because the child complained to the mother that, Mommy, he beat me. Will she go and scold the other child? Why did you beat my child? Usually, mother does, you know. She'll go running, why did you beat my child? And that child will say, but auntie, he beat me first. Your child beat me first. I beat him because he beat me. Now the mother doesn't ask her own child, did you beat him? But the complaint is that he beat me. And the mother thinks it's not my child's fault, it is the fault of the other child. Just imagine, little things. In this way, we play blame games. But then after playing those blame games, we think we are very good. And because that ego comes, it's not my fault, it is somebody else's fault. A time may come when we really commit a very, very big mistake. And it's 100% my fault. At that time, I don't want to accept my fault. I don't want to accept my fault. Because I always think that I am the winner. It's always somebody else whose fault it is. And when it is really his fault, he feels so guilty inside that he cannot forgive himself. Because he has not been able to forgive others. You know, this is a very deep reason why people are not able to forgive themselves. If people are able to forgive others, it should not be difficult for them to forgive themselves. But always they are blaming others, blaming others, blaming others. And they think they are very right. And when the situation comes when it is 100% their fault, they can't point the finger to anybody else, then they can't forgive themselves. and this is what Baba says, have mercy with yourself first. And how do we have mercy? Baba spoke on a very deep level. That whatever Srimat Baba is giving, you should follow that. In this way, you are purifying your soul, yourself. And therefore, because the aim is very high, the aim is purification of self, becoming complete, becoming perfect. And whilst doing this, we have to make sure that we don't see the defects of others. That's why Baba said in today's Murli, totally detached. Don't see, even though you are seeing, but still don't see. You are able to hear so much, but don't hear. Because only if you are hearing and you don't hear, you are seeing and you don't see, then only you can really be a good detached observer. And when you are a detached observer, you are able to forgive others also. Because you think it's a game. It's a game. No one is alike the other one. Each one is unique. Each one is different. Each one is special. And therefore that is their way. This is their way. This is their way. Okay. I appreciate everything. I accept everything. And then, if I make a mistake, I will accept that. Yes, it was a mistake. But not that it's a mistake and therefore I won't change. Okay, I will change. Because my aim is very high. That I have to become perfect. I'm not perfect. I know nobody is perfect. And because nobody is perfect, why blame them? If I'm blaming, it means I want him to be perfect, no? But nobody is perfect. And therefore there's no need to blame. It is very, very important that we forgive. Because we know nobody is perfect. That is why they say, there's a saying in the world, to err is human, that is to make mistakes, to err is human. But to forgive is divine. So as human beings we may make mistakes. But if we can forgive, definitely we are divine. And if I can forgive myself and give a full stop to the past, and I can move forward because my goal is very high, my aim is very high, I cannot stop in between or waste time in between. Of course, Baba says you have to check yourself. But then check and change should be very quick. Some people, what they do is that they do check and they do think that yes, it's my fault, I should change, it's not good what I've done, Baba wants me to do like this but I'm doing like that, I must not do this, I must do only what Baba says. So you have checked, but okay, I must do what Baba says, but I don't do it. Today's blessing was also very special. Determination. Determination is the key to success, but determination will also finish my impure sanskars. I have to change. I have to change. This is the determination. And in that determination, I am able to melt my old sanskars. Because when that situation comes again and I'm being tested, have I been able to change or do I do the same thing as I had done before? That's why in management they say, if I do the same as I did before, I will get the same as I got before. If I think the same as I thought before, I will do the same as I did before and I will get what I did before. But if I want to get different, what do I have to do? I have to think different. I have to go out of the box. That is, think in a different way. Yes, this is the way I can change. So till now I was following a certain pattern of blaming others, and even if somebody else did something good, I was taking the credit instead of really appreciating others, praising others. I accepted the praise for myself, and because that will lead to my ego, gradually a time comes when my ego is hurt. My ego can be hurt. You know, that is why they say, if you are living in a glass house, please do not throw stone at somebody else's house. Because your house can get broken first, because your house is a glass house. So don't throw a stone at somebody else's house if you have a glass house, because it will come back to you. And if you are able to forgive others and also able to forgive yourself, then others will also forgive you when you make that mistake. But if you have not been able to forgive others, or you have not been able to forgive yourself, then others will also not be able to forgive you. So you have to go out of the box to forgive and yourself and others. Sometimes it's very easy to forgive the self and forgive others, but the higher aspect of that is to even forget. No, I forgive myself. I don't, whatever wrong I've done, I'm not cursing myself. I'm not torturing myself. I'm peaceful. Okay, Baba, I'm so sorry, Baba. I did this and this is my weakness, and I surrender that to you, Baba. I promise I will not do it again. In this way, I forgive myself. But then forgiving alone is not enough. I'm having mercy with myself by forgiving myself. But also I should be able to forget. I should be able to forget it. Forgetting is more difficult than forgiving. You know, what do you think? What is difficult? Is forgetting difficult or not difficult? Yeah, and forgiving is still easy. Okay, let it be. You don't want to take revenge. You don't want to hurt yourself. You don't want to feel that pain. You know, you don't want to. So you're having mercy. But then true mercy would be when you have not even remembering it. Okay, you forgive somebody else and then it's okay, you don't take revenge. But the moment you meet him, that whole story will come in your mind all over again. And then you say, well, I have forgiven him. But you have not forgotten him, forgotten that. So we see our dadis, we saw Baba, Mama. Baba, Mama would know everything, you know, all the weaknesses of the children. But Baba and Mama, or even the dadis, they never say, you did this. No, they would realize themselves and come to Dadi or Mama, Baba. Daddy, I made this mistake. Or Baba, Mama, what they would, not even Mama, even Mama never did. It was Baba. That Baba would come and tell in the class, in general, that how children make mistakes, children do this. Because Baba would read the letters and all with complaints of children. So Baba would come and tell in the class. You read in the Sakar Murlis, that many children are like this, many children do this, do that, how they defame Baba. So Baba used to know through the letters. Sakar Baba used to know. But then what would Baba do? Baba would again say, never mind children, never mind, you have to forgive them. There's a very interesting saying that if a child gets lost in the morning. He goes out and gets lost. But in the evening he returns. Then he is not considered lost. He was lost for the whole day. But then at night he came back on his own. Whole day no knowledge of where he was. And he was considered lost. And at night he comes home. So he's not considered lost because, again, there is a beautiful meeting, a beautiful, a milan, a meeting. Milan word in Hindi is much more higher than meeting. Meeting can even lead to anger and greed and attachments and fighting. You know, meetings, so many things happen. But milan is a very, very lovely word. So we have Atma, Paramatma, Milan, the soul meeting. But just not meeting. It is much more than a meeting. It is actually where you are receiving everything from the Father, making it part of you, and becoming the embodiment of that. That is the meeting. Like the river meets the ocean. But it's not just meeting. The river merges into the ocean, becomes part of the ocean. That's the real meeting. So this is what it comes. The child comes back and meets the family. So that child is not considered lost because it has a joint. It's a union. The word mela could be more for word union rather than a meeting. The word union is much higher word than just meeting. So this is what Baba says, that you have to have so much mercy on yourself and others. Otherwise you're only wasting time. You're wasting time, your energy, you're wasting your thoughts, you're wasting everything. Because anyway, even supposing I know that you have this weakness, but can I do anything? I can only give you my good wishes. That's all. So that you change. I cannot take the law in my hand and give you a brutal punishment or a very severe punishment. I cannot do that. Even God doesn't do it. It is only Dharamraj who has this right. Huh? It's only the judge in the court who has the right to give the right decision. But the clients can only have their lawyer and tell their lawyer. The lawyers will fight the case, but it's the judge to decide. The lawyers can't decide. So it is in the court, you know, they say, well, I did and now it is in his court. So it is like it is a decision of the judge in that court to decide. So whatever, supposing I do something wrong, okay, I tell that to Baba, I make a promise to Baba, Baba, I promise I'll not do it again, which is much more than a confession. A promise is much more than a confession. Confession is very simple. Okay, you're not hiding anything from Baba and you're telling Baba, Baba, I did this mistake. And you're a very truthful child of Baba, you don't hide. And even if you try to hide, you cannot hide from God anyway. They say God is watching. So whatever you do, maybe people will not know what you have done. Others may not know, but I know and God knows. This word God knows is such a beautiful phrase. Where I don't know something, God knows. So, but even if I do something, I definitely know it. Although somebody else may not know it. And also God knows. So I have to tell the truth to God. If I won't tell the truth, then my punishment will be 100-fold. But if I tell the truth, then Baba says the punishment will be halved. But just confession or telling the wrong thing I did is not enough. Because after that confession, I need the second step to do is make a promise to not repeat that mistake. No, very often we have this habit of saying sorry, 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 sorry. All the time we have just sorry and thank you. Sorry, thank you. Only these two words on our lips. Sorry. How many times we say sorry in a day? That means how many mistakes we make during the whole day? Because that many times sorry you say, no? And how many times we make the same mistake and we say sorry for the same mistake? Don't we or no? Sorry after that we don't do that mistake again? We do it or we don't do it? We do it. Then what's the use of saying sorry? Sorry really means that you know you made a mistake and now I make a promise that I will not repeat it. You know, that's the meaning of purusharthi, effort maker. As Mama used to say, an effort maker is the one who makes a mistake but then not just confesses but also promises that he will not repeat that mistake. This is the real meaning of an effort maker. So confession alone is not enough. And you say, well, I confessed to Baba, I told Baba and that's it. But then the determination to not repeat that mistake, this is the real mercy with the self. The determination to reach that stage where Baba wants us to reach, so that I become a charitable soul, I become a deity soul, I become a pure soul, because this is the real mercy I will have for myself. Otherwise I will be punished. I know Baba says that if you don't absolve all your sins in this life, then you will have to be punished by Dharamraj Puri. There's a very beautiful saying, there may be delay of justice in God's court. Delay is possible, but there is no injustice. Delay of justice is possible. And why this delay of justice is there? Because some charitable actions are still there. It's not that I have been exhausted of all my charitable actions. And therefore, although I may have done a very big mistake, I am not yet punished for that mistake because of my good actions which I have done, which are helping me at this moment. But if I finish these also by committing more and more mistakes, sinful actions, then justice will definitely come. But delay in justice is not injustice. You know, in today's world people say that delay in justice is injustice. We say no. Because it's not really accurate to give the verdict or to give the final commitment immediately. You know, many people would go to Baba, Mama, Dadis, even Dadi Janki, and Dadi, this like this, like this, should I do it? Dadi would say, ask me tomorrow. Ask me, I can't tell you the final decision now. Because it's not right to give the final decision. Somebody is in a very angry state, another person comes and says something to him, and he'll shout at him, although it's not right. But at that time his mood was not very good, so that person shouldn't have come and said something to that person whose mood wasn't good. Actually the result will be definitely negative. Therefore many people, when they want to go to somebody for taking any decision or anything, they first wait, is his mood okay? Is the mood okay? Because the mood is not okay, the decision will never be accurate. So too, the seniors do not give accurate or do not give the final decision immediately. Therefore, delay in justice is not a delay. It has got many pros and cons. So very many say, but I told this to Dadi, why didn't Dadi give any justice? Why didn't Dadi do that? Dadi knows what is best for me as well as for that other person. And this is the real mercy. Because she is merciful towards me and also merciful towards the other person. And because of being merciful, the decision has to be waited. It has to wait. And then, you know, very often time is a very big healer. Time heals. After some time, after a while, a realization will come in me or will come in that person, and both will compromise, and that is completely settled. It's like that. It happens. Husband and wife quarrel, and both say, I want to divorce you, I want to divorce you. And they go to the court. They go to a lawyer. But a lawyer is very intelligent, very sensible. He'll say, okay. Come tomorrow. Come tomorrow. And next day they have compromised. Oh, no, we don't want to divorce. So the lawyer will not take the decision immediately, no? Because that was just extempo at that moment only. And therefore Baba says, have mercy for yourself and for others. And for that we need a very big heart. We need to see the virtues of others and also see our own virtues. Again, what we do sometimes, we see the virtues of others very well. She or he has such this virtue, that virtue. But when we are asked, okay, what are your specialities? I start wondering, do I have any specialities? And then when others are asked about my specialities, each one will mention my specialities. And I begin to wonder, do I really have these specialities? That means, what does this really mean? That means I don't have that self-esteem. And because I don't have the self-esteem, maybe I'm not having mercy for myself also. So having mercy for the self is that you also see your goodness. But it doesn't mean that it is ego. Many think that it would be ego if I do self-praise. It's not that I should praise myself. That's not necessary. Whatever is practical, everyone is watching. I don't have to say what I am. Others know what I am. Practice is, that's the mirror for me. Whatever I'm doing or I am, I'm like a mirror which others can see. I don't have to tell my good things. But definitely, I can tell my bad things, what are really wrong with me, so that I'm able to correct in myself. And therefore, Baba says, see your weaknesses and see the goodness of others. But seeing your weakness also doesn't mean that you don't see your goodness too. Or you don't become aware of your goodness. It's not that others only have to remind you of your goodness. You should also be aware of your goodness. And if others do remind you, it doesn't mean that you should have the ego that, yes, I have this goodness in me. Take it in a very humble way. How will you take it in a humble way? By saying, well, Baba has given this to me. I didn't have before I came to Baba. Or if I do something good and others praise me, don't take that praise. You say, well, I didn't do anything, Baba did it. So praise Baba for it. I was only an instrument. So in this way, I'm neither taking the praise nor am I taking the defamation also. Because I have my self-respect. And if others are respecting me, okay, they are respecting Baba indirectly. And I hand over to Baba. Baba is because of you. So in this way, I not only have mercy for myself, I also have respect for myself. Because again, respect cannot be separated from mercy. Just as mercy, forgiveness, tolerance, you know, all these qualities go together. You can't separate them. Just like the vices also cannot be separated. If somebody is under the influence of sex lust, he is definitely having anger in him also. It's not just sex lust. If somebody has anger in him, lust is also there in him. If somebody has greed, then attachment, ego are also there in that person. And therefore Baba says that these vices always go together. So as they go together, the qualities of virtues also always go together. So if you don't have to separate these vices to conquer, you know, we say, okay, today I will conquer anger. Okay, today you conquered anger, but you did not conquer greed. Tomorrow, because greed is there, anger will also come because your greed was not fulfilled. No? So where did you conquer anger? They say there's everything for one's need, but not for one's greed. And if there's greed, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want that, and tomorrow I don't get it, but I have conquered anger, but I have not conquered greed. Won't the anger come back? Why didn't I get it? So, we have to conquer all the five vices together. And how do you conquer all the five vices together? What is the root of the five vices? Body consciousness, as Baba says. So overcome body consciousness and you overcome all the five vices. And the root of all the virtues is soul consciousness. Like Baba said today that you are God's children, godly children. Yesterday Baba spoke about soul consciousness. When you are soul conscious, how the divine virtues come. When you say you are God's children, today Baba said, then you should not be fighting amongst yourselves. You should not have an impure drishti towards one another. You know, all that will come because I am God's child. God is my father and therefore we are brothers and sisters. We have a pure outlook for one another, pure drishti for each other. And when there's a pure drishti means we are seeing each other as a soul. So that soul consciousness automatically brings all the values. People talk a lot about values in the world, but why are they not able to practice those values? Because they don't have soul consciousness. They don't have the knowledge of the soul. When I say I'm a soul, then I have this value, I have that value, all the values are there. And if I'm body, then all the values vanish. Because all the five vices, they are based on the five senses. Extreme of each sense organ, the taste or the attraction of each sense organ leads to a different vice. Sense of touch, the extreme is lust, sex lust. It's only touch, that's all. But this touch can lead to something very, very impure. That's why Baba says, there are many stories on this, so many stories in the scriptures, that once a woman was going went to the river bank to fill water. So she filled water in her pot, but the water pot was quite heavy and she could not pick it up, you know, and put on her head. So there was somebody passing by and she said, "Can you please help me to put this pot on my head?" And he came forward, but she said, "One condition. You should not touch me. You should not touch me. Because if you touch me, then that is also part of lust." Because her drishti was so elevated, but then she needed help. So these are stories that this is a sense of touch which leads to lust. And then the sense of sight, eyes. So first is skin. So that is touch, that is lust. Eyes, anger. We see something and we don't like it, anger comes first in the eyes, before it comes through the mouth. First it will come in the eyes. Eyes are the first index of the mind, before the mouth and any other hands or legs, whatever. And therefore Baba says anger is visible through the eyes, greed through the tongue. taste. Attachment, nose. You know, when you're attached to somebody, you like to smell him. You like to be very close. You like to go very close and feel him through the nose. That's attachment. Why can't we stay a little bit apart? Why do we have to come so close? No need. It is leading to attachment. And ego, ears. So sense of touch is lust. Sense of sight is anger. Sense of means taste is greed. Sense of smell is attachment. And sense of hearing is ego. If somebody tells me something which is not really favorable for me or against me, immediately the ears will rise, will become big, or the ear, you know, the holes become big. Oh, what did he tell about me? How dare he say that? Ego is released, like. And therefore these five vices are because of the five senses, and the five senses means body consciousness. And therefore Baba says, the easiest way to conquer these five vices is to first conquer body consciousness. And how do you conquer body consciousness? By becoming soul conscious. You can't remove body consciousness by itself, you know, on its own. Okay, body consciousness, go. Body consciousness is actually ignorance. And ignorance means like darkness. How do you drive the darkness away? You won't drive the darkness away by sitting whole night with a sieve and saying, come on darkness, go away. And the morning the darkness goes, you say, oh, I've driven away the darkness. You did not drive away the darkness, but the sun, you know, rose and the darkness went on its own. There's stories in the scriptures also about this. That once in a village, all the people in the village, the moment they would see that the sunset has come, the light is gone, they used to think a ghost has come. It's a ghost, like Baba said in today's Murli. A ghost has come. Now we have to drive away this ghost. So whole night they would take their spoons and their vessels, utensils and everything, sieves. Come on, drive away this ghost. And by morning, the ghost would be driven away and they would say, yes, we drove away the darkness. So in one family, a boy got married to a girl who was from town. So she was quite knowledgeable about these things. But in the village, there was no electricity and therefore no knowledge about why this darkness. So when she came in that house, and the very first night, her mother-in-law and father-in-law said, come on child, daughter-in-law, pick up this sieve and start driving away the darkness. She said, what? Why drive away? This is natural. No, you have to drive away this darkness. Okay, so what will happen? The darkness will go and light will come. And she said, why should you do that? And she got a lamp and lit that lamp, and there was light. In a second there was light. No need to drive away the darkness, just light the lamp and there will be light. That's it, 1 second. So Baba says, if you want to finish body consciousness, don't say, I must not have body consciousness, I must not have lust, I must not have anger, I must not have greed. No, I'm a soul. A soul doesn't need all this. The soul has only values of purity, peace, love, happiness. That's all. And that's what I am. And these values will come immediately. And then I can become a merciful soul. Mercy, I'll have mercy for the self and for everyone. Because each one is a soul having the same qualities. Acha. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Where is Dari? Dari's not come? Where's Meera Ben? Any news? Huh? देखो ना, तो आएगी ना.